If you would, open your Bibles with me this morning to Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 11. Philippians chapter 3, we'll begin reading in verse 8. Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss, because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible, I may attain the resurrection from the dead." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, our prayer this morning is that from this text, your Holy Spirit would make us to realize that knowing Christ Jesus is of all surpassing worth. Father, it is our prayer that your Holy Spirit would be at work in our hearts, making our profession the same as the Apostle Paul's. That whatever else we may lose, if we have Jesus Christ will be enough. Father, show us the glory of your Son this morning. Father, show the glory of your Son this morning to those among us who are not yet trusting in him for salvation. May your Holy Spirit especially be at work in their hearts this morning, convicting them of their sin of unbelief, their sin of rebelling against you. And we pray that your Holy Spirit would open their eyes to see that Jesus Christ is of infinite worth. May we all leave here today having experienced that truth and owning it for ourselves. And it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. We do well to remember that the Apostle Paul is writing this letter from prison. He's writing this letter as someone who has indeed suffered much, as he says in this very text, "I have suffered the loss of all things." And yet, even in the midst of having lost all things, as he says, Paul maintains his joy in the Lord. Paul says that knowing Christ Jesus, his Lord, is of surpassing worth to him. None of us are suffering in exactly the same way as Paul did. He was imprisoned as he wrote this letter for his faith in Christ, for his boldness in preaching the gospel. And us in this room, we are not in prison the way that Paul was. We are not shackled the way that Pastor Brunson was in Turkey for so many years and has just now been released. And yet we all suffer in this life. We suffer in various ways and in various times. And one of the things that suffering does to us is suffering tempts us to value the things that we're losing in the moment of suffering more than we value the Lord Jesus himself. Our sufferings show us what we really value most in this life. If we were to lose a family member, if we were to lose our job, if you were to lose your reputation, would you be able to affirm with Paul that knowing Christ Jesus is of surpassing worth? Paul was able to rejoice in the midst of his sufferings because even though he lost everything else, the fact that he had Jesus was enough for him. Knowing Jesus and valuing him above all else was Paul's secret to getting through all the many sufferings that he endured throughout his ministry. And if we're to persevere through the sufferings that we face, though they may not be exactly the same as his, We have to know Jesus, and we have to value knowing him above all else, just as Paul did. And here in Philippians 3, 8 through 11, Paul gives us three concrete reasons why we should value Jesus so highly. Why we should know Jesus at any cost. Paul says we should seek to know Jesus at any cost because everything else is rubbish compared to him. Because he gives the righteousness of God. And because in knowing him, you will attain the resurrection of the dead. First, Paul tells us that we should know Jesus at any cost and value him above all else, because really everything else is rubbish compared to him. This is what Paul says in verse 8. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ. To Paul, everything else in his life is a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. For Paul, if all he had was Jesus, if he had Jesus but nothing else, he could rest content. Jesus was all he needed. As Paul's going to go on to say to the Philippians at the end of his letter, Philippians chapter 4, verses 12 and 13, Paul says there, I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. How could Paul face the hunger that he faced countless times during his ministry? Countless times in prison, oftentimes beaten, once even left for dead. How could he endure the great needs that he suffered being imprisoned for the Lord? He could endure those things because of Christ. He could do those things because Christ was enough for him. Even when he had nothing else, he had Christ. And that was all that he needed. Indeed, as Paul says here in verse 8, he has, in fact, in being imprisoned, he has lost all things for the sake of Christ. As we read last week in verses 5 through 7, Paul was a quintessential Jew. He was circumcised on the eighth day. He was a member of the tribe of Benjamin. His parents were both Jewish, and he was thoroughly Jewish. He was educated according to the strictest interpretation of their law under as prominent a Pharisee as Gamaliel. He had quite a bit of prominence among his fellow Jews, and yet, in coming to faith in Christ, he threw that out. He threw it away. He lost the prominence that he had had among his fellows in converting to Christ, in trusting in Christ for salvation. He has lost so much favor with them that they've in fact been the ones who have caused him to be in prison. The book of Acts tells us that in Paul's seeking to take a collection from Macedonia down to Jerusalem because there was a need in the church there, that as Paul got to Jerusalem, the Jews surrounded him and certain Jews from Asia came in and incited a riot against Paul. And they were trying to beat him to death, and the Roman soldiers had to come in and take Paul into custody just to spare his life from the Jews. But in the course of doing that, he was in prison and left in prison for years because the Roman governor wanted to see if the Christians might pay a bribe to get him out. And after being in prison for many years, Paul was then sent across the Mediterranean Sea to Rome because as a Roman citizen, he appealed to Caesar for a verdict. In losing his prominence among his fellow Jews, ultimately Paul has, in fact, lost his freedom. And as Paul is imprisoned, likely in Rome, as he writes this letter, he's not only lost his freedom, but as we've read in Philippians chapter 1, he's lost his reputation among some of the Christians there. In Philippians 1, 15 and 17, Paul talks about how there are some Christians around him in his imprisonment who are preaching Christ, but they're preaching Christ from envy and rivalry with him. That as they're preaching Christ in verse 17 of chapter 1, they're thinking to afflict Paul further in his imprisonment. Paul has indeed suffered the loss of all things, even as he writes this letter. But he says, I've suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish. The King James Version translates rubbish as dung, because that's the image that Paul gives. He gives the image of a dung heap or a landfill. He gives the image of just a heap of rubbish, things that are completely refuse, things that are unfit even for dogs to eat. And Paul says, all these other things that I've lost, his prominence among the Jews, his freedom, his reputation, ultimately compared to knowing Christ, compared to Christ himself, those things are rubbish to him. And those things are rubbish because ultimately what Paul is gaining, as he says at the end of verse 8, is he is gaining Christ himself. If Paul gains Christ, whatever else he may lose along the way, Christ is worth it. Christ is like that treasure hidden in a field that Jesus told a parable about. How a man went into a field and found this treasure. And because the treasure was of such great value, he covered it up again, went back and sold everything else that he had just to buy that field, just so he could have that treasure. That's what Jesus is. Jesus is that great treasure that even if we have to give up everything else, if we gain Jesus, he is worth it. The things that Paul ultimately lost, his prominence among his countrymen, his reputation, even among some Christians in Rome, the fact that Paul lost those things and considers them rubbish serves as a reminder to us that we ought not to value our reputation and we ought not to value what others think of us more than we should. Certainly, it is a good thing to have a good reputation among others. It is a good thing to have a good name and a name of integrity. But if that becomes at odds, if people's opinion of us becomes at odds with God's opinion of us, let us choose a good name with God always over a good name with others. And certainly will sometimes be the case when we are dealing with non-Christians. Paul is living out the truth of Proverbs 29:25. The fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. As Paul writes Philippians, he is imprisoned. He's lost all things, but even in prison, even as he's lost all things, Paul is in fact safe. He's safe because he's trusting in the Lord. He's safe because he's considering having Jesus to be worth losing everything else. Personal freedom and a good reputation certainly are blessings. They are good things, but they are not the ultimate thing. We must be careful to keep Christ ultimate. Personal freedom and a good reputation are good things, but if we have those things apart from faith in Christ, from an eternal perspective, we really have nothing at all. As Jesus asked his disciples on one occasion, what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world but loses his soul? And the answer is nothing. By contrast, if we have nothing, but we do have Christ, we do in fact have everything that we need. We ought to seek to know Jesus at any cost and value him above all other things first, because really everything else is rubbish compared to him. Secondly, we ought to do this because he alone gives the righteousness of God. This is Paul's point in verse 9. When Paul says he not only wants to gain Christ, but he wants to be found in Him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ. The righteousness from God that depends on faith. Paul wanted to know Christ and be found in Him because he knew that a righteousness of his own that comes from the law would not save him from God's wrath. A saving righteousness based on the law is a completely unattainable goal. We cannot be saved by our keeping of the law because of how thoroughly and repeatedly we break it. As Paul tells the Romans in Romans 3, 19 and 20, he says, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified or declared righteous in God's sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin." The law cannot save us. The law does not save us. The only thing that the law can do is condemn us for the way that we fall short of it. The only thing that the law can do is condemn us as unrighteous rebels against God. We can't be saved by our righteousness from the law because we all reject God's law in our lives. The only way that we can have a saving righteousness, as Paul says here in Philippians 3:9, is through faith in Christ. Paul says it is the righteousness of God that depends on faith. Paul understood that he could not trust in himself to save himself. He had to trust in Christ to save him by his sacrificial death. As Paul has already told the Philippians in Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8, Jesus was in the form of God, yet did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. That's the message that Paul trusted. That's the message that gave Paul righteousness, a saving righteousness. Our own righteousness, as the prophet Isaiah reminds us, apart from faith in Christ, our own righteous deeds are like filthy rags, a polluted garment. Our only hope for a saving righteousness must come from outside of us. The righteousness that we ourselves can produce cannot live up to God's standard of righteousness. We need His righteousness given to us. And Paul says that's exactly what God does. That's exactly what God does in His grace, is He gives us His own righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ. As Paul also wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. "For by grace," he says, "you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." We're not saved by our works, we're saved by God's grace through faith in His Son. That is how we receive the righteousness of God. And so this is the second reason that Paul gives us why we ought to value Jesus so highly. It is only Jesus that can give us this righteousness of God. It is only Jesus that lived out this righteousness in His life on earth. Our only hope to stand before God in the judgment day is to be clothed in the spotless righteousness of Christ, who perfectly obeyed God's law and is Himself forever and always righteous. And this leads naturally into the last reason that Paul gives us as to why we should value knowing Christ so much. He says we should value knowing Christ so much because in knowing Christ, we will in fact attain the resurrection from the dead. Verses 10 and 11. Paul says the final reason why he wants to know Christ and gain Christ is so that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Knowing Jesus is of all surpassing worth to Paul, because in knowing Jesus, Paul knows the power of his resurrection. Even in the midst of his suffering, Paul knows the power of Jesus' resurrection. As Paul puts it in Romans 6, through faith we are buried with Christ and raised to walk in a newness of life, of which our baptism is a picture. Our baptism depicts how through faith we are buried with Christ and how through faith we are in fact raised with Christ. Even in our lives today, we are able to experience the power of Jesus' resurrection in our growth in godliness, in the way that we grow in the grace and knowledge of Him, in the way that we're able to endure sufferings and persevere through the midst of them. Even as he suffers for Christ, Paul is able to endure this because of the present power of the Lord's resurrection. Paul followed Jesus in the pattern of his suffering, and it was Jesus' resurrection that empowered Paul to do that. And as we've already seen in Philippians, it's not only Paul that suffers in this way, but it's a suffering that's given to all Christians. As Paul writes in Philippians 1:29, where he says, "It has been granted to you," to the Philippians, to the Christians hearing this letter, "that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake." Suffering is something that we all go through in life. How will we endure it? We'll be able to endure it if we know Jesus and if we're living in the power of his resurrection, relying on his grace, relying on his strength, relying on his Holy Spirit, and not relying on our own strength. And it's not just that we experience the power of Jesus' resurrection in this life now. We experience it a little in this life now, but we will experience it fully at the last day. As Paul says at the end, his hope is by any means possible. He wants to attain the resurrection from the dead. Paul was living in the power of Jesus' resurrection in his life, but Paul knew that there was another resurrection to come. There was a final resurrection to come. Because Jesus was bodily raised from the dead, all his people will be bodily raised from the dead too. As Paul told the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 20 through 26, "In fact, Christ has been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For as by a man came death, by a man has come also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive, but each in his own order. Christ the first fruits, then at his coming those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God and God the Father, after destroying every rule and every authority and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death." Paul lived in the real world. He understood that suffering and death still happen, even after the Lord Jesus' resurrection. But Paul says, because of Jesus' resurrection, even though we face suffering, even though we all will one day face death if the Lord tarries, we can face those things in the sure hope that just as he was raised from the dead, he will raise us from the dead when he comes again. And just as he was raised never to die again, when he raises us, we will be given glorified bodies just as his own, and we will never die again either. What Paul in these verses shows us is that getting saved isn't simply getting a get out of hell free card. Getting saved is knowing Jesus. And it's being found in Him by faith. Through faith in Him, we know Him. And as Christians, we may know Jesus in His sufferings. We'll all suffer in various ways in this life. And certainly a temptation that we in our own cultural moment face more and more is that temptation of, will we be quiet about our faith for the sake of not offending people? Because our culture is at such a point that people are offended by the gospel. People are turned off by Jesus talk, by talk of our sin, by talk of God's grace. The gospel is offensive to people. And the temptation that we will face more and more is, are we going to shut our mouths? Are we going to stop short of fully sharing the whole gospel with people just because we want to preserve a good reputation in their eyes? If we do that, if we stop short of sharing the gospel with people for the purpose of maintaining a good reputation in their eyes, our reputation may not suffer in their eyes, but when we fall to those temptations, our reputation will suffer in God's eyes. And it is God's eyes that really matter. May we, as we go about in this world, as we go about in our communities, may we be able to agree with Paul that knowing Christ is of surpassing worth. It's surpassing worth for us, and really it's of surpassing worth to everyone that we meet, whether they're a Christian or not. If they would know Christ, that would be of all surpassing worth, because it is Christ who gives the righteousness of God, because it is Christ who one day will give us resurrection from the dead. And that resurrection from the dead is only possible in Him. It is not possible any other way. It will not come in any other way. Jesus was worth it to Paul. Jesus was worth it to Paul, losing his prominence with his countrymen, losing his freedom, losing his good reputation among some of the Christians in Rome. As we come to crossroads in our own lives, conversations with people, relationships with family or friends or co-workers, will we agree with Paul that Jesus is worth it? Will we agree with him that Jesus is worth it, both for us to know him and for us to make him known to others? Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise you for your grace. Father, we all in our natural states are rebels against you. We all are dead in our trespasses and sin. Our sin kills us, but naturally we love it despite how destructive it is to us. But Father, in your grace, you have called us out of our sin. You called us out of our darkness into your light through faith in your Son. Father, I pray that your Son would be more precious to us than anything and everything else. May we seek His glory in our lives and in the lives of those that we know and meet. Father, may your Spirit be at work in each of our hearts, both conforming us in our own lives to His image and also in making us bold witnesses for Him, so that the lost may come to know Him as well, and one day, even as we will be, to be raised in glorified bodies to live with you forever in the new heavens and in the new earth. And it's in Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.